Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Merton, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. You can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMerton, and this podcast, as always, is available at MMAoddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. I appreciate that. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMAratings.net. So we're well into October now. October 3rd already. Crazy, crazy. Christmas is just around the corner, so I'm excited for that. But got a lot to talk about today. Bellator preview, a couple pieces of news, and a fight announcement to get to. So I'm going to start with the Bellator 229 preview. We actually have odds out for Bellator 229, so that's good to see. We actually have odds for 7 fights, so that's a little surprising. I mean, usually they only do the main card, but they have to do a few prelims here, which is nice to see. So let's start with this card. I'll start with the top and work my way down. Main event of the evening, welterweight bout between Andre Korshkov and Lawrence Larkin, 3-round fight. Opening odds had Korshkov minus 185, Larkin plus 145. Right now we have Korshkov minus 190, Larkin plus 165. Really good fight. Two really good strikers at welterweight in Bellator. Korshkov's been a very successful fighter in Bellator, 22-3 record. And in Bellator, he has a very solid record as well. I believe it's 13-3. So an excellent record in Bellator. He's got some good wins. Benson Henderson, Douglas Lima. Also lost to Douglas Lima twice. But his only losses to Douglas Lima and Ben Askren. I mean, that's pretty damn impressive. Those are two great fighters. And he's got a lot of good wins in Bellator. A lot of knockouts. Guy's a great striker. Well-rounded fighter. So Korshkov's great. And I definitely can see why he's the favorite here. Larkin has struggled in Bellator. 20-7 record for Larkin. He's 33 now, so he's getting up there in age a little bit now. I should mention Korshkov's only 29, so he's very young. And Larkin just really hasn't lived up to the expectations of Bellator. With a 2-2 record, lost to Douglas Lima in his debut, was knocked out by Paul Daly. That was a bad performance. And then he beat Fernando Gonzalez and Ion Piascu by decision. Hasn't fought since last October, so about a year since his last fight. And like I said, just hasn't looked great in Bellator. But you can't forget, he's not that far removed from beating guys like Masvidal and Magny in the UFC. Ponzinibbio as well. He has some great wins on his resume. So Robbie Lawler as well back in Strikeforce. He's got some solid wins, really good striker, good power. But just so inconsistent lately, and just has not lived up to the expectations of a big contract. So I got to lean towards Korshkov here. I do agree with the odds favoring him. I just don't think you can totally count out Larkin. This could be a good matchup for him stylistically. It's going to be a striker for striker fight, so it probably stays standing, and Larkin would have a chance to land the knockout blow. At the same time, though, I don't necessarily trust his chin after that Daly fight, and he has been beaten to the punch in the past. So I'd be a little worried if I'm betting on Larkin as a dog here at only plus 145, so I'd probably pass on him. But at the same time, I don't know if there's crazy value in Korshkov minus 190. I need a lower line of Korshkov to play him. So my pick would be Korshkov to win decision here, but I personally wouldn't bet on this fight because I do think there is a chance for an upset, and there isn't enough value, in my opinion, on the favorite to bet on him, although I do believe he gets the victory. Co-main event, lightweight bout, pretty solid fight here. Goiti Yamauchi against Saad Awad. Yamauchi opened up at minus 350 at Best Fight. I'm going to double-check that. He opened at minus 550 in another sports book, and Awad opened plus 390. Right now you have Yamauchi minus 335, Awad plus 255. You got to favor Yamauchi in this fight. Much younger fighter, 26 years old compared to 36 for Awad. And I think that's the key for this fight. Just 10 years age difference. You don't really see normally the older fighter win. It does happen occasionally, like Macy Chason last week versus Lena Landsberg. So you will see that occasionally. But in this case, I just think Yamauchi is a much better fighter, more well-rounded, coming off a great win over Daniel Weichel. That's a solid, solid win. Awad does have some solid wins in his career as well against guys like Will Brooks. He knocked him out, a couple other wins. But for the most part, he's just a gatekeeper. And I think Yamauchi's a little bit more than that. So I got to favor Yamauchi quite a bit in this fight. I do agree with the odds, again, with him being a solid favorite here. I think he's someone to parlay. I mean, he could get knocked out. It's possible, but I doubt it. He's never been knocked out before. I mean, but again, Awad does have finishing power, so he could catch him. I just feel like Yamauchi's just going to grind him out and win a decision. So that's my pick for that fight. Next up, I really like this fight. This is an interesting matchup. Joe Schilling against Tony Johnson. Johnson opened minus 130. Schilling opened minus 110. Right now we have Johnson minus 155. Schilling plus 125. Interesting fight here. Two guys are a little bit older. Johnson 36. Schilling 35. Johnson coming off a really good win in the Contender Series over Alton Cunningham. It was a close fight, but he did enough to get the job done. So that was a nice win for him. He's 3-0 since making his return to MMA in 2017. He had taken a four-year break before that. He's actually been fighting as a pro since 2007, and he's fought in Strikeforce. He's fought in Bellator in the past, and obviously Contender Series. intermittently, though. So he only has 10 fights in 10 years, so he barely fights. But he actually has looked good lately, 4 straight wins. I think he's a solid fighter. I really do. I was impressed with the fight against Cunningham. I think this guy's a smart fighter and a veteran of the sport. So I think he's a decent fighter. He's taking a shilling here. His record in MMA sucks. It's 4-5. It's below average, obviously. But we can't forget his kickboxing prowess. The guy is a great kickboxer. He's got a lot of KO power. And if you look at his MMA losses, like one of his losses to Tony Ferguson, like in 2008, you can't even count that. Rafael Carvalho, that's a tough fight. And then Hisaki Kato knocked him out. That was an upset at the time, but still not a bad win. He's 3-2 in Bellator, though. So he's actually picked it up since kind of going back to MMA in 2014. And it seems like he's made the full-time transition the last year. He has 2 fights in the last year, and he's training with Donald Cerrone, obviously. So that's a great training partner to have. I'll be honest, I was a little surprised at these odds because I did think Schilling would open up as the favorite, and I was hoping to get Johnson as a dog because I do think Johnson might win this fight. Having said that, at minus 155, I don't really like the odds on Johnson. I think there is more value on Schilling as a dog, and I do think he'll get some love from bettors. But personally, like, I would probably pass on this one because I can see it going either way. I really can. I think Johnson can grind him out, just be a smarter fighter, win by cardio, and I think Schilling could possibly catch Johnson and finish him. So I don't really see a ton of value here on either guy. Maybe Schilling has a little bit more value as a dog because I do think I was expecting him to open as a favorite, but I personally would lean towards Johnson to actually get the win here. So that'd be my pick, but definitely an interesting fight and a close one. Women's fight on the main card, Kerry Melendez against Mandy Polk. Melendez opened up at minus 300, Polk plus 220 right now. Line's tightened up a bit. Melendez minus 290, Polk plus 230. And once again, I expect the big favorite to win here. Kerry Melendez, obviously her pedigree training with her husband Gilbert and the rest of the scrap pack. She's 3-0 in Bellator, 3-0 in MMA. Doesn't fight that often, which I don't like, basically once a year. But she did fight twice last year, which was good to see. She has not fought in over a year, so obviously that's a concern against Mandy Polk here. 6-4 record, 34 years old. I should mention Melendez, 35, but a young 35, doesn't take much damage, doesn't have many fights. Polk, 34 years old. She is, like I said, 6-4. She's actually on a 3-5 win streak over some not so great fighters. Brianna Smith, she beat in her last 2 fights, 0-5 record, and Emily Geddes, 0-2 record. She has fought a couple notable fighters. She lost to Mackenzie Dern in LFA by submission, lost to Katie Collins, the late Katie Collins, by ground and pound in RFA. And that's pretty much it as far as, I guess she lost to Rebecca Ruth as well. I think she's in Bellator. So she's lost a couple of notable opponents here. If I had to guess, Melendez will probably win this fight. I think it's a setup fight for her. Bellator seems to like her. Obviously, women's strawweight's not a big division in Bellator, of course, but I do think she probably wins this fight. The odds, though, I don't love minus 290. And you got to remember, Melendez's last fight was a very, very close fight against Dakota Zimmerman, and she should have swept the floor with that girl, and she barely won that fight. So with someone with only 3 fights, I don't know if I'm comfortable laying minus 290 personally. I guess I'd have to think about it because I do think she wins this fight, but you know, I wouldn't completely count on Polk. She does have more experience than MMA, and maybe she's a little better than what you think, but everything's pointing to Bellator booking this fight for Melendez to sweep the floor with her and get the win. All right, a couple of prelim fights at odds, which is nice to see. Salim Mukhidinov against Adil Altamimi. Interesting fight here. I'll just call him Salim, is minus 130, open minus 130, Adele open minus 110 right now. We have Salim minus 125, Adele minus 115. So I think most people don't really know these guys, and that's why the lines pretty much stayed steady. So I'll talk about Salim first, 6-3 record, 25 years old, coming off a loss actually to Humberto Bandide, who's in the UFC right now. He has not fought since 2017, which is not great. He does have a couple notable, I guess, opponents on his resume, including Scott Hudson, who's a Canadian fighter here. So that's a notable opponent, but, you know, he really hasn't beaten anyone good. So the loss to Bandy would probably be the highest profile opponent he's fought, lost that fight. Hasn't fought in 2 years, obviously, like I mentioned, against Adele here, 8-5 record, 30 years old, Black House fighter, actually coming off a win in Bellator. Before that, had lost to Juan Archuleta. He has more experience, I think, against better fighters, like Chris Avila's fought as well. I think the Archuleta fight, for sure, that's a big name opponent. But at least he has some experience with Bellator. He's fought in all over the California regional scene, Gladiator Challenge, King of the Cage, etc. So, again, you know, it's two guys that, let's be honest, none of us know a lot about these guys. So you're really taking a shot in the dark here. I guess I lean a little towards Adele, if anything, just because he has more experience. But I think you'd be playing a fire if you're betting on this fight, personally, because there's just not enough known about these guys. I think there's some other fights in this card that are better picks, including this one. Derek Anderson and Scalera Bamba. Derek Anderson opened -305. Bamba opened +225. The odds have stayed steady so far, so no action on this fight so far. This is actually a postlim. I believe it's the last fight in the card. So it's really weird the way they're doing it. They're going to do two prelims, five main cards, actually four main card fights, and then seven postlims. Very strange. Derek Anderson is a longtime veteran of Bellator, 15-3 record, 29 years old. He's fought some pretty solid fighters. He has some good wins. He beat Patricky Pitbull, Sadawa. Those are good wins. He hasn't fought in a year and a half, though. But overall, he's got a decent resume at Bellator. He actually has two wins over Patricky Pitbull. That's a really good win. That's a solid fighter there. Brandon Gertz, that's another decent win. So he has a lot of experience at Bellator. Galera Bamba, 10-5 record, 33 years old. Obviously, he's a friend of Chael Sonnen. He did fight in the UFC at one point. He lost to Luke Zachridge. He actually has a win over Elizeu Zaleski dos Santos. So that's a solid win. But I don't know. He just hasn't looked great in Bellator. Look at his last couple of fights. He lost to David Rickles. He beat this guy, even Castillo. Lost to EJ Brooks. Beat Johnny Mercurio and Jordan Dowdy. But, I mean, those are very low-level guys. So, I don't know. Like, the odds are a little high on Anderson here, but I think he wins, personally. I do like Anderson quite a bit in this fight. I just think he's a better fighter, more well-rounded. If the fight goes to the ground, he could be in trouble because Bamba does have a good submission game, but I think it stays standing and Anderson just beats him to the punch and wins the decision. If not, knocks him out. I think there's a chance that he could finish him. So we'll see what happens in that one, but I do like Derek Anderson quite a bit in this fight. And the other fight with odds is a bout between Anatoly Tokov and Horacio Derepinian. So don't know a lot about Derepinian. Tokov obviously is a good prospect, though. Let's check out the odds. Tokov opened at -405, very nice, -565. So he's been steamed up. And Derepinian, he opened at +285. Right now he's +375. So, yeah, people are counting on this one. And for good reason. Tokov is a really good prospect. 28-3 record, great record. 29 years old, coming off four straight wins at Bellator. He beat Gerald Harris. He beat Alexander Shlemenko. He's got some good wins. I mean, those are solid wins. His last loss to Ramazan Ameev, who's in the UFC, and he's doing really good things in the UFC. So this guy is a very solid fighter. He's been fighting a long time. He has quite a bit of experience. Also has lost to Magomed Karamov, who's a really good fighter at PFL. So this guy has a lot of experience. You look at the resumes of some of the guys he's fought, very good fighters over in Europe. So, you know, those are some decent opponents, especially Harris and Shlemenko. Those are very solid veterans. He finished Gerald Harris with a submission. So that was a great finish for him. And the Shlemenko win's huge too. Derepinian, 17-8-2 record, 33 years old, so a little bit older. Coming actually off a draw against Gerald Harris. So these guys both have a common opponent. Tokov finished him. Harris and Derepinian won, or had a draw with him. Shouldn't say won the fight. And hopefully Gerald Harris finds a job. That guy's awesome. Right? I hope he finds a job. This guy does have some decent experience fighting in the European regional scene as well, but just pales in comparison to what Tokov has. I like Tokov quite a bit. The odds are they suck now, let's be honest here. But I'm just checking. If you parlayed like Yamauchi and Tokov, -189, I mean, that's not too bad. You put Anderson, then you got +103. So that could be a parlay maybe to look at. Yamauchi, Tokov, Anderson. Just looking right now, I have to think about that more before I like told you guys for sure to put money on it. But I think that's something to think about, at least Yamauchi, Tokov, and Anderson. Because I think those three guys win, personally. And they're obviously big three favorites, but they should all win the fight. I don't necessarily love betting on big favorites, but especially in the UFC, because you see upsets all the time. But in Bellator, I feel like a lot of the big favorites usually win, you know. So you never know. Like, you could see a Junie Browning kind of thing here. Or not Junie Browning, Corey Browning, where this guy that everyone's counting out pulls off the upset, like with Derepinian here or something like that. But I don't see that happening personally. I do think the majority of the favorites on this card will win. You'll probably see an upset or two. So tread carefully. But overall, I think it's going to be another Bellator card where most of the favorites win. It seems like that's how most of their cards play out. So definitely take a look at this card. And again, I should mention that UFC 243, that takes place Saturday, and a full odds out for that card. That main event, that line is so close. Yeah, Adesanya -115, Robert Whittaker -105. Very, very close line. Man, that's a tough fight. I don't even know who wins that one. I'm going to say Adesanya, like I said in the podcast, but geez, like, you can't count on Whittaker, and Cole picked him on the podcast, and guy's a great fighter, so. Wow, I can't wait for that fight, guys. I'm really excited for that one. One of the best fights of the year, no doubt about it. One of the best middleweight fights probably we've ever seen. So, Bellator 229 in the books. UFC 243 soon to be in the books. So, good weekend of MMA heading up. for us. And yeah, Bellator 229 tomorrow night, UFC 243 Saturday. All right, a couple of pieces of news here. Israel Adesanya is back in the news, of course, because he's fighting this weekend now. He's been going after John Jones, and now Stipe Miocic as well. He says he wants to fight John Jones, and he said that he wants to fight Stipe. His coach is interested in the fight. Those are two interesting fights, no doubt about it. I mean, Adesanya, he's really setting his sights high, and I love that. I love that. You know, it's nice to see a guy be ambitious in the sport, but at the same time, he's fighting Whitaker this weekend, so I feel like he's got to slow his roll here. And I hope he didn't take his focus on Whitaker, because Whitaker is such a tough fight for everyone. But yeah, there's no doubt that Adesanya versus John Jones is such an interesting fight. Even Miocic, although that's crazy because his coach is like, well, we'll just skip a weight class and go right to heavyweight. I mean, I'm sure he's just talking smack, but man, that'd be a crazy fight. Having said that, Dana White was asked yesterday about Israel Adesanya versus John Jones, because John Jones responded on Twitter and he said he's going to make Adesanya his bitch. And Dana White says he actually likes this fight, and he'd be interested in making this fight. So, wow. I mean, there's definitely a chance we could actually see Adesanya versus Jon Jones. That's crazy, right? Like, who would have thought that a little while ago? I wouldn't have. Because Adesanya, you know, if he does beat Whitaker, that would be zero title defenses. You just unify the belts. You'd think that you would have to beat guys like Costa and Romero and a couple other of those guys at middleweight. Maybe even a rematch with Whitaker, an immediate rematch if the fight's close. But Dana White says that John Jones fight's a possibility, and John Jones wants this fight too. And Adesanya says he wants it next year in Las Vegas at Raiders Stadium. So this guy's setting his sights high. I love that. I love fighters that are ambitious. And I think Adesanya is one of those guys that actually can back it up. But like I said, I think you just got to really focus this weekend on Robert Whitaker, because that is not a fight that you want to look over. Whitaker is a very dangerous opponent, very game opponent, and that's going to be a crazy fight. So hopefully Adesanya is keeping his focus on him, and maybe he's just doing this as a distraction. But yeah, there's no doubt if he does win, that John Jones fight is something that people are going to be interested in, especially because John Jones doesn't have an opponent right now. He possibly could fight the winner of Chris Weidman and Dominic Reyes. I would assume the winner of that fight's in the driver's seat for title shot. Also, Jacare Souza against Jan Blachowicz, that winner of that fight could be in the driver's seat for title shot. But he's in the holding pattern right now. He's waiting for his next opponent. And if Israel Adesanya beats Robert Whitaker in impressive fashion, I expect John Jones to go on social media and call him out, and I expect Adesanya to take the microphone and call him out. So it could be a fight we see next year, which is crazy enough, guys. And I'm not going to lie, I do think Adesanya versus Jones is a massive, massive fight for the UFC, and that's probably why Dana White is so interested in it. Although, again, it's screwing over the other middleweight contenders if it happens. Like, Paulo Costa would be pretty pissed, I'm sure, if Adesanya didn't have to fight him first. So we'll see what happens to that. If I had to guess, I do think Adesanya will probably make a few title defenses at middleweight, but I would not write this fight with John Jones off. I do think there's a chance we could see it. One other thing here, speaking of Dana White, Oscar De La Hoya went after him a little bit, and he was talking smack to Dana. He called Dana White a bully, which I think is a pretty fair comment at points. But he says he's going to be back, getting back in MMA, which is interesting because we all know the Golden Boy card last year. I actually liked that card. There were some decent fights. Like, obviously, the main event, Chuck and Tito, was a joke, but there were some decent fights on the rest of the card. Like, Tom Waller versus Jerron Wayne, that fight sent Jerron Wayne into the UFC, so there were some decent fights in my card, but he says he's going to do MMA again. I don't know how successful it's going to be, because that first card did not do well, let's be honest here. And after that, I think he said he didn't want to do it, but now he's saying he'll get back into it. So don't know if that's Golden Boy 2. I don't know if co-promoting with someone else. I don't know, but Oscar De La Hoya said he's not done with MMA, so we'll see what happens here. But yeah, I do think Dana White we'll have something to say about that in the next couple days if someone asks him about it. And last thing here, a fight announcement for UFC Sao Paulo, welterweight bout. Love this fight. Worley Alves against Randy Brown. Good fight. Worley Alves, very, very solid fighter. I remember seeing him in Brazil in the elevator before UFC 237 when he knocked out Sergio Moraes with a crazy uppercut. And actually, I was at that fight, and I was right near the cage. So that was a crazy, crazy fight. We're actually on the side of the cage where he knocked him out with that uppercut. So it was an incredible knockout. This guy is a solid fighter, man. I've always liked Worley Alves. His record in the UFC is very good, 7-3. He has a submission win over Colby Covington on his resume. That's a massive win. Does have a couple losses to guys you should beat, like Barberina and Kraus. Has a loss to Usman. There's no shame in that one. But overall, I think Worley Alves is a monster, man. And you know, seeing him in person, the guy, he's a very, very big guy. And he was actually really friendly, too. He held the elevator open for me. And I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, this guy's really nice. And I'm like, wait, that was Worley Alves. So it was crazy. When he was cutting weight, he looked a lot skinnier than what he steps in the cage at. So I didn't recognize him at first. And then I took a double take, and I'm like, well, that's Worley Alves. He's really skinny. Oh, he's cutting weight. So Anyway, super nice guy though. He was super friendly to me. And yeah, I remember that. That was crazy. I saw him in the elevator, and then Sergio Moraes was literally in the next room to me in the hotel. And I remember he was getting ready for that fight with Alves, and man, he had the meanest game face I've ever seen, and he got knocked out. But that was crazy. And then I remember Francisco Trinaldo, I think, was with him, and he was walking around. I talked to Francisco, although he doesn't speak English. So I said something to him. I said hi, and then he said something in Brazilian. I just said, cool. Like, I did not Brazilian, excuse me, in Portuguese. I really didn't know what he said. But yeah, just a little anecdote there I just wanted to share. Anyways, Alves, yeah, like I said, 7-3 record, very solid fighter, a lot of knockouts, a lot of submissions, really good fighter, and takes on Randy Brown here, who's a good fighter as well, 29 years old. Randy Brown, 11-3 record in MMA, including a 5-3 record in the UFC. So a solid record in the UFC. He's coming off a nice win over Ryan Barberina by TKO. It's a great win. Nice to bounce back after that TKO loss, or the KO loss, I should say, to Nico Price, where he got finished. Nico Price was on his back and finished with hammer fist from the bottom, which you don't see much in MMA. You don't see guys finish their opponents off their back. Just, it's so hard to generate power like that. So very impressive performance there by Nico Price. And it kind of scares me a little bit when he'll be taking on a guy like Alves, who does have finishing power. He's also been submitted, Randy Brown, by Michael Graves, who's not in the UFC any longer. Although that's not really for performance reasons, that's because he's not a very nice guy outside the cage. But yeah, I mean, Randy Brown's solid, good fighter. Finishes his fights too for the most part. So this is a great fight. I love this matchup. Very, very even fight. But I do favor Alves fighting in Brazil. I think that's going to help him out here. But a good fight. And that UFC Sao Paulo card actually looks pretty good. That's Jan Blachowicz versus Jacare Souza card. Also on that card, co-main event, Shogun Hua versus Sam Alvey. And then you also have Kraus versus Marias, Alves Brown, Trinaldo, Bobby Green, Barao, Silva D'Andrade, Lipski versus Cachoeira, Santana Cortez, Perez, Marshman, and Arroyo versus Charles. So that card looks pretty solid. It's really shaping up nicely. And I should mention yesterday, I talked about Barao and D'Andrade. Aaron Bronstetter, my buddy, he actually said that fight's going to take place at featherweight. So that's interesting because both guys have been fighting at bantamweight. So not 100% sure if that's totally accurate, but I do trust Aaron. So I'm going to go run by him, and I'll say that's a featherweight fight. So that makes it a little bit more interesting, the Barao D'Andrade fight. But I do, like I said, favor D'Andrade because you have to favor out at this point in his career. So I think that's about it for today's show. I'm just going to double check, see if I missed anything in the news that's worth talking about. I should say this. What is it? Dana White said that he's open to Khabib versus GSP. So that's something I wanted to mention really quickly. But he said he wants them to fight Tony Ferguson first. So that fight won't be happening anytime soon. But it's just weird. Like, you hear that this fight could take place, then you hear otherwise. Like, Frost Hobby's like, no, it's not going to take place at 155. Then you see all these pictures of GSP in the last few days. He's looking really thin. And you're wondering, is he training for a return to lightweight? So very interesting stuff going on there. I do think GSP's going to fight again. I just don't know if it's going to be at 155. I just can't see that happening. I understand he wants to fight Khabib and kind of prove who the best wrestler in MMA is, but I think it's going to take place at 170 or a catchweight. I don't know. I just can't see GSP making 155 at this age of his career because he's 38 and he's retired. So to me, it just doesn't make sense. But we'll see what happens there. Again, Dana White says he's interested in that fight, so there's a good chance that could happen. So that's it for today, guys. I appreciate you tuning in, as always, to the podcast. You can check me out at MM Adam Martin on Twitter. This podcast is available at MMAOddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com, MMARings.net. Guys, once again, thanks for tuning into the show today. I really appreciate it. I'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the podcast. Have a great day, guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.